The Bike Black Ribbon Society presents the Black Ribbon Bike Hour, Show 8.
This is the psychedelic episode of the Black Ribbon Radio Hour. Tonight we're going to talk about all the magical colors of anodization. Going out into the world on your single speed. And what happens in that magical land we call Milwaukee. Sometimes people call me Chris Daisy. And I'm going to introduce to you right now the legendary Evan Larson.
Hey, Chris. Thank you for that psychedelic intro. Ow. Welcome to the show, everybody. Greetings to the listener. And welcome to the great date of show 8, which happens to be today. I would like to welcome to the show our guest MC, D.
Hey, hey.
DJ Nice.
Right on.
Tonight's radio broadcast is brought to you by the good and kind folks at Surly Bikes. Surly makes kick-ass steel bicycles like the Surly Troll.
Learn more about bikes, parts, and chaos at surlybikes.com.
And trolls.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we shall raid the Black Ribbon Liquor Cabinet.
So I heard you need a fat bike. Come to Zion Cyclery in Zion, Illinois. We have all brands: Trek, Borealis, Salsa, Felt, Surly, and more. Yo, we have all the cold weather gears by 45 North and Bontrager. Keep those fingers and toes nice and toasty. We fix bikes also, so you have any problem? Brakes, gears, suspension? We have the best mechanics in town. So yeah, visit us at zioncyclery.com.
Time to turn off the cartoons, kids, because it's the Black Ribbon Liquor Cabinet segment. Yay!
Let's start the show by digging into the Black Ribbon Beer Cooler.
It's literally a beer cooler.
Yep.
This isn't even a radio metaphor.
There you go, sir.
Thank you. Oh.
Tonight's intoxicant is brought to you by Tighthead Brewery. And we are honoring our Rasta guest by sampling an IPA happily named Irie.
Yeah, man.
IPA.
Have to keep it Irie.
Crack this open. Now, just so you gentlemen know, this beer and I have a history. It's completely fucked me up. But it leaves me in a state that I can still ride a bike steady as can be until I get home and I pretty much fall off of it.
It's definitely what you call Irie.
Is that where you have to put, like, 1 foot down off of the bed so the rest of the room stops spinning?
Yeah, that and finding the keyhole.
Oh, yeah, before you can even make it to the bedroom.
Yeah.
Make it into the door.
Make it into the door. Like I said, I can ride there, no problem, as soon as I step off.
Well, tasting notes, it's pretty delicious, I would say. Something on the top side there I can't quite identify. Is it weed? Be cooler if it was.
Yeah, I know. Definitely taste the grapefruity citrus.
There you go. That's the note I'm looking for. Let's see. Let me drink half the can, then I'll know for sure.
It's good beer. And it's from a local Illinois town, from Mundelein, Illinois. And it's Tighthead Brewing Company, the Irie IPA.
Nice.
Black Ribbon approved.
All right. Down.
Now, while we're drinking and talking about going to breweries, bars, and whatnot. I want to talk about bars.
Bars.
Not that kind of bar. I'm talking about handlebars. And forget about these flat bars. I want to discuss Vato Lindo bars, specifically Surly's new Sunrise handlebars. They have that BMX clunker feel to them, and they're described as a cruiser bar, a trail bar, and a BMX bar all rolled into one. Chromoly steel, and my favorite color, black, and it is 22.2 millimeters for your clamp, but it includes the shim to meet your fancy 31.8 clamp.
If you're going to rock bars like that, don't you pretty much have to go cool BMX stem? You don't have to, but it's kind of an odd look to go like Bontrager 90mm 17-degree rise with my cool Chromoly, BMX bars.
Somebody's going to want to do it. You guarantee it.
Well, I think you were discussing doing it in the foyer earlier tonight, were you not?
I was, but it wasn't the Surly's.
Oh, okay.
The segue
into the other bar?
Or? That's it. Irie just came back. Now, that is actually a bar that I'm possibly getting from our pal Burnsy over at Oddity Cycles. It's called a Razor Bar, and the anticipation of getting this is killing me.
All right.
Now, that one is a 4130 chromoly steel, or if you got the buckage, you can get the titanium one. That one's also in a 31.8 clamp diameter, but it doesn't have as much of a rise as the Surly. It's only got a 45 millimeter rise versus the 83 millimeter rise on the Sunrise. Now, Burnsy will paint it whatever color you'd like, but I get a feeling after my conversation with Dad that I will be getting a bar with a bunch of dicks on them.
Hey, okay. Fill in our listeners who may not be familiar with dick bars.
Well, what was it? Was it two? Three?
I think it was.
We got to talk to Thad Carlson, and he was telling us, or talking to Gomez, who isn't here today if you haven't figured that out yet, but
details to come.
He was talking about this bike that he did up, Burnsy, and he kind of hid all these dicks all over the bars and the bike and the frame, and you really didn't know it until you looked really close at it and somebody took over our Instagram and Gomez saw the bike and was like, oh, it's a pretty cool bike, and put it right onto Facebook, and someone was like, there's a bunch of dicks on there. And, it was, yeah. So I
classic 14-year-old bathroom boy humor.
Yeah, so I trying to talk Thad into talking to Burnsy into getting me some of these bars and calling in favors. But
bar hopping.
I digress. But it's like Krampus coming early, and everybody can expect a write-up about these Razor bars from me sometime in the not-too-distant future.
BMX bars and single speeds. Not to segue too early, but let's talk a little bit about single speeding, because I haven't really done it all that much. Done it, D?
Neither have I.
I
got one by 11.
I was like on the verge of kind of putting together a single speed bike, but then like all the one by stuff came out. And I was kind of like, well, I don't know. Do I really want to lose my gears? I've already lost half of them. That's pretty cool. But I was kind of thinking about on that subject today, like, would a 3-speed hub, like a really cool, really light internal 3-speed hub, be a cool idea for fat bikes? Or I don't know.
The Pugsley came a single speed, so I was single speeding in the winter.
Yeah,
and
I mean, you just try to find that perfect gear and roll with it.
The best part is you can just kind of, there is no right gear, you just have that gear and you make it fucking happen.
Right, you're either just pushing your ass off or you're coasting.
Yeah.
Or
I kind of thought about it a little bit when we were at the Trek Trails. That guy that was slamming all of the Tito's that was on the single speed murdering us, dude. I was like, man, I should maybe get a single speed.
Yeah. Well, the problem is those single speeders, they make it look easy.
Yeah.
Because they're usually like, giant legged maniacs who like to punish themselves for fun and sport. And I'm very far away from being that kind of guy.
But hey,
I like the creature comforts of a thumb button that makes it easier to pedal up the hill.
I'm no giant maniac. I'm far from fit. And I enjoy the single speed challenge because, you know, you make it or you don't, and
yeah.
you attack the hill, and you definitely enjoy the downhills a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not really trying to drop gears to go faster. And
I mean, I should just go out of my comfort zone and put, you know, flats on a bike and single speed and maybe even rigid steel.
Yeah, I got that Surly 1x1.
Yeah.
That thing's a flipping blast.
Well, if I'm doing it, I'm going Surly, man.
You gotta.
Right. Thank you, Surly, for sponsoring our show. We're not biased or nothing.
We take a trip to the local scene with a few Milwaukee bike events from the unofficial bicycle counterculture spokesperson, Hepcat and charming as fuck, Scooter.
I'm Scooter. My stupid parents always used to make flyers for their swinger drug parties, and they're called October. Rocktober. So if you find yourself in the hitchhiking range of Big Bruce Stain during October, Mom, here's a big slice of Milwaukee's local scene. Fucking Rocktober like Elvis Presley and shit.
So what's happening in Milwaukee?
Laverne and Shirley. Happy days. These are the things I know about Milwaukee. They used to make a lot of beer there. Do they still make a lot of beer there? These are the things that I don't know about Milwaukee.
So on the local scene, we've got something called Rocktober 7th in Washington Park. It's the Pussycat What the Fuck Alley Cat Race. It might actually just be WTF, but I take that as what the fuck. Oh wait, I'm sorry. It's the Pussycat Woman Trans Femme, and it's hosted by the Ladies Revolution of Milwaukee. It's a woman trans femme bicycle group that plans events and mechanic nights in Milwaukee to encourage and support WTF riders. Now, this is a ride and race that is a scavenger style in which each rider gets a manifest with addresses from around the city. Each rider can ride solo or with a group of other riders and choose what addresses to ride to and do a small activity, and you receive a stamp. Riders have 4 hours to ride, and the option to ride A route, all the stops, or a B route, half the stops. Each rider gets one raffle ticket towards prizes for riding, and then there will be prizes for first, second, and third, as well as some fun categories, such as hard charger. Now, October 14th, we've got something called the Milwaukee Tweed Ride. I remember Gomez talking about that. That is one of the most retro fashionable rides of the year. The Milwaukee Tweed Ride is a relatively slow, short, kind of parade style ride. You bring your vintage steel and you dress in your most fashionable tweed.
I'll bring my safety cycle
and my monocle. Or you can just come as you are. You can find all these events on Facebook.
What's that?
I don't know.
Never heard of it.
Think you should just kill your Facebook, but
kind of want to these days, don't you want to? Doesn't Facebook kind of suck,
man?
Fucking A.
Oh god,
I just want to like throw my phone and just be like, stop, I hate the world.
Either that or just a button that you can segue out all the bitching.
Yeah, like,
you know, just give
filter.
Me the positive stuff and funny videos. I don't really want to hear somebody complaining about
a
somebody
meme
else.
You know what would be great? A meme blocker. Man,
I hate those fucking memes.
Right,
man.
Like no more fucking. Oh, you know what? It's gonna piss off the liberals or piss off the conservatives. This picture.
I mean,
no, you just suck. Find something to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my Facebook rant for the day, ladies and gentlemen. Luckily, we are not sponsored by Facebook.
So right. Kill your Facebook.
Kill your Facebook.
Now, October 20th, we have something called the Cycledelic Forest Bike Prom. Ah, you crazy cats. Think vibrant colors.
Psychedelic.
Dress in your brightest. And cross-dressing is encouraged.
I'm tripping so hard.
Blend reality with fantasy. Bask in the black light dance floor and get weird.
I'm seeing weird stuff.
This will definitely be a weird, wild, and crazy night of dancing
with weird
DJs Oscar Van Buren, Selector Max, and the Wax Addicts. There will be prizes throughout the night to the best dressed, and for those killing it on the dance floor,
prizes.
Big cash prizes.
Cash prizes?
Cash prizes.
No shit.
I couldn't be making that up. So bring some extra dough for raffle tickets and pose with friends in the Vulture famous photo booth.
Psychedelic.
Check your fucking Facebook for events. Fucking A. It's everywhere.
But I killed my Facebook already.
Yeah. There's got to be a better way. So, the day after, if you haven't been completely tripping balls and you're still up, you can go to the Biketoberfest brewery ride.
Beer!
Just drop another hit. All right? Because you can drink anybody under the table when you're tripping.
Beer tripping.
I mean, it's autumn. It's nature's way of telling you to lube your sprockets and get ready to act silly in public. Au revoir, summer of 17. Bring on the puffy season. Basics. Gotta dress like Han Solo. Snow emergency parking. In all seriousness, we are stoked for the cooler temps, because holy fuck, it's been hot.
Oh, dude. I wanted to stand outside and just wait for, like, the cold front to hit me, so I could be like, yeah, I don't want it to be 90 degrees again until, like, July.
Oh, it was fucking brutal. What was it? Like, we broke records. Multiple days in the 90s.
Yep.
Wednesday was a beautiful day.
Hottest year ever again.
And today, Friday, is also a beautiful day.
Oh.
In all seriousness.
Time warp.
Yeah, time warp. So, you can go to as many of these breweries as you can handle and invite everyone you've ever met. And dogs are included.
Really?
So, you see, there's something for everyone. Even my swinger parents. There's something like every freaking weekend except Halloween, because All Hallows are for our Dark Lord Satan. I left the Eve out. You gotta do a bloopers tape, man, for this shit at the end of the year.
Yeah, we sometimes just roll with it, cause you know,
cause we're not professionals.
We only have 3 listeners.
Yep. Want me to do it over?
Nope.
That's what makes the show awesome, dude. The word on the street, the people's court with Judge Dredd.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
The courtroom is set, and the litigants are real. Welcome to the people's court.
This is the case of power gone wild and egalitarian chaos reigning despair among the Shire. This is the case of Gomez's 2-show suspension of Gomez. Representing Gomez via sat phone is Chewy. So let's take you directly to the courtroom where Judge Dredd presides.
All rise.
You may be seated. So, Chewie, I've read your brief. And what is all this about high sticking? Because I might just know someone who's into that.
Well, first of all, high sticking is the wrong charge for him in the first place. The charge should be playing with little bright objects. And that charge is false on top of it all. Case is quite simple. Would you give a toddler, would you walk up to a toddler, fire up a chainsaw and set it next to him?
I object!
Of course not.
Sorry.
Quiet.
What are you doing in courtroom dramas?
Quiet from the prosecution. Chewie.
You wouldn't fire up a chainsaw and set it next to a toddler. Why would you put Gomez in front of bright, shiny lights and buttons? The person who should be on trial today is the person who doesn't tie him in the corner and gives him just a microphone and nothing else. The wrong person is on trial here.
Are you saying that we need to put Gomez in restraints in order to have him do the show?
Well, it's the only way I deal with him.
I'm not sure. I'll have to think about this.
We've tried gummies.
The gummies didn't work, obviously. But how do we know?
But gummies are two steps higher than Gomez.
Well, how do we know which Gomez will keep his stick below the waist? And which Gomez may say, raise that stick well above the waist and hang up on another guest?
Well, again, we could do it. There's a couple things that should be happening. His both hands should be tied to the stick, and we'll weight the stick down with a 12-pack. He can't lift that, so that would keep the stick below his waist and not interfere with any of the equipment. And then he would just stare at the bright, shiny lights and drool. It would be perfect.
Enough.
Enter into evidence the demon that is controlling the gnomes that hollowed out the gooey parts of Gomez to create the monster. This demon and these gnomes and heavy metal have rendered him legally insane, and therefore innocent of all charges.
Like Gomez is back on the next show, or sent to finish a full 2-game suspension, not to return until show 10. I say he shall not return until show 10. That is my sentence.
So there you have it, folks.
It looks like there will be 2 multiple shows. Sans Gomez. Send in your angry hate mail to Gomez at fat-bike.com.
This has been the Peephole's Court. We're back, and we've still got Chewie on the line. So, Chewie, let's rap about bikes, man. What's on the docket? What have you seen out there?
Well, a couple weeks ago, I was up in the cities, and the boys at Handsome are coming out with a 5-speed internal hubbed double step through, like, urban tandem with 650 Bs on it. It's freaking, it rocks. I mean, we jumped on it, my wife and I took it for a spin, and we've been riding tandems for a long time. We rode 2 blocks, and she said, we're getting one of these. It's a sweet riding bike.
There aren't enough tandems out there. I mean, as a shop owner, I don't have enough options when it comes to tandems, especially in something that's, like, not $5,000. I don't know how much that one's going to be, but...
I think this one, they're doing a Kickstarter to get it going.
Yeah.
They've got some pretty sweet deals on their Kickstarter. I think they're, like, right now, they're, like, $1,400 on their Kickstarter. They'll probably go...
Oh, that's not bad.
The next batch will be quite a bit higher. It should probably be over $2,000, but... There, you know, the trouble is a tandem like this, there's not a lot of, there's a lot of really nice tandems. There's a lot of nice road tandems. There's a lot of nice gravel road tandems. There's mm-hmm. a lot of, we've got a fat bike tandem. But in this range, in the style of riding, like it's not just an old Schwinn that you jump on and try to get downtown and then try to work your way back on it. This thing, you could do some mileage on it and still ride in style to work to other places. It's kick ass. It's kind of an interesting idea.
Cool.
AD, have you ever ridden a tandem?
Yeah, I rode a tandem actually with Dave, and,
and former Black Ribbon like superstar Dave.
Dude, when I tell you we tucked that thing to about 25 miles per hour, man, we were cooking on that baby.
Yeah.
And yeah.
What? Yeah, I've done that. There's pictures out there of Dave Lutz and I riding on our Teasdale made fat tandem.
Nice.
We did the Pugsley World Championship on it.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Jeez, you guys beat the crap out of my 1970s Columbia twosome. Single speed. I think I got it for $50, and the guy was so happy I got it out of his garage. But we've ridden that. That's a fun bike.
I stumbled onto the sweetest and fantastic shape, probably like a mid-70s Schwinn coaster brake single speed tandem. And it was sitting next to a house we were having a party at, and it was just sitting on the backyard, and I knocked on the door and I said, "Do you always leave this tandem sit outside?" And the guy's like, "Yeah, you can have it. My wife and I don't know how to ride it." I'm like, "Yes, scored a great tandem." I took his wife for a ride on it and kind of showed him how to ride a tandem just to get used to it. I fucking took it back.
I'd like to try one of those, like, 4 or 5 or 6-person tandems. Because, I mean, you never get a chance to really actually ride one, right? But what would that be like, you know? How flexy is that thing? Get 6 guys on there. Try to turn left or right.
I'd be the guy in the back with the cooler.
Not actually pedaling.
Exactly. Feet up. Pass this up, guys.
Somebody has to do it, right?
Exactly. Oh, that's cool.
We segued into tandem talk.
Yeah. That is kind of like
counterculture.
I mean, who the fuck rides tandems? You got your Geo Metro and your Nissan Sentras to get you around. Why would you want a fucking cool tandem bicycle?
My wife and I rode tandem to work for about 3 years.
That's cool.
Just and then we got a bike locker, and that obviously doesn't fit in that, so we kind of give up that idea.
Yeah, transport and storage.
People stare you strangely when you're riding. Yeah. And then people stare you strangely when you're riding it from the 10 blocks when I dropped her off to work to my shop, and I'm riding it by myself. I get a lot of, you get the same response. There's nobody out of the back.
You're doing it wrong. You lost your passenger.
I'm just doing laps around the grade school. Leave me alone.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. I thought we were dark humor. Taking it too far?
Honey, that wasn't me.
Kids, watch out for guys on tandems without a backseat passenger.
All right. Well, shit. Thanks, Chewy. I appreciate you talking a little bit about tandem bicycles. And the Kickstarter campaign that will hopefully make it.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to Black Ribbon Bike Hour on Fat Bike Radio.
psychedelic anodizing segment. Notice all the colors as they swirl into fractal patterns, race across the back of your eyelids. Greens, purples, oranges, gold, and sometimes weird stuff that Chris King puts out. We're talking about psychedelic anodizing.
We all love those little blingy bits that eventually make their way onto our freedom machines. My question is, where do you start? And once you start, where does it fucking end?
When you run low on cash.
Yeah, no, that's the fucking truth. Holy shit, that stuff's expensive. That's probably why I haven't put much bling on my bike besides some Purple Hope hubs on my Pugsley. But there's always my son's college fund that I could dip into. Chris.
Yes.
What kind of blingy bits do you have on your bike?
Glad you asked. I, for one, am just super stoked that the whole anodized thing is back. I remember there was kind of a time in the bike industry where it was like, oh no, only silver and black is cool again. And now, it reminds me of when I was in my 20s, way back when, and bikes were, you know, anodizing was all the rage. Nuke Proof used to make those cool hubs with the carbon in the middle, and you could get them in gold anno and all kinds of colors, and people were just tricking out their bikes like crazy, which kind of oddly you saw for a brief time in the early days of the fat bikes when a lot of the builds were frame only. D, you kind of remember this when we were building up all those custom 907s, like sick ones. We had all polished, we had Rasta, we had just cool variations that we would make with different anodized portions and cable housing colors and just kind of going crazy and being artistic with the bikes. So I like that that's back. I like that you can throw on some color to your bike and personalize it a little bit. Speaking of bling, that's one of the cool things I saw at the last trade event was...
The double water bottle holder?
Well, from Wolftooth, but they made this thing called the Bling Kit where they had all those different colors of spacers and top caps, and you get it all as one. Water bottle bolts and all included. So, yeah, bling. Bling is back. I've got some blue on my Salsa. I've got some orange on my Santa Cruz.
Nice. Now, what are we talking? Are you just talking, like, the bolts? Or are you talking, like stem caps, top caps, just whatever?
Well, I went real crazy with the summertime wheel set for the fat bike. So, I think we discussed this in previous shows where I went to a 27.5 plus wheel conversion to kind of lighten up the bike for summertime, and the rims are Spank Uzi 395 plus, I want to say, but I might be wrong.
Nice.
It's their 27.5 plus size rim, but got that laced up to some Blue Hope hubs with some white Supreme spokes and made for a really light wheel set.
What color nipples?
Orange. Because, you know, just got to go all the way with it.
Got to bling Commit. It out.
Yeah. So it's a blue and orange, or, you know, orange frame, blue anno, wherever I can put it. And, yeah, it looks awesome. Love it.
You know, you may, I just remembered, I do have a little bit of anno on my cross check. I've got some gold spoke nipples.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right on.
I put red stuff on my Surly Straggler, so it's black and red and super evil looking. I think we talked about that before, too.
You know who built that bike up to cross check for me? Our good buddy Norm.
All right, shout out to Norm.
Thanks, Norm. So how about you, D? You got any blingy bits on any of your bikes?
Dude, Chris knows I love red. It could be a any color bike. I'm putting red anno on it. I got the dress up kits for the Thompson stem with the red faceplate and the top cap. Race face, chainring, bolts. Yeah.
What are you riding over there, D? Just in case our listener doesn't ride with you.
For those who don't know D, since we've had the first time on the show, he's an ace mechanic over at Zion Cyclery. So he, you know, can treat your baller bike right.
Yeah.
When I take my bike to Zion, D works on my bike.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm not the one that uses all the lubes and stuff.
That's his father. We'll cut a commercial with you at some point too, man, for sure.
Yep. But yeah, I got a Fuel EX8 and I have a Remedy 7, and that has all of the red anno stuff on it. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Now I understand when you said you don't have a single speed.
Yeah.
A while back, I think this was when fatbike.com really was first sprouting up. I threw some photos of a build that I had on my first Borealis, and that was like a carbon colored bike with red graphics, and I used a whole lot of like red and gold.
Oh, anno. Mr. T, you talk about
it
Mr.
Cool.
T.
Yeah, about a gold chain. Yeah, right. We used a totally gold chain on it, and gold hose from, I think it was Jaguar, and yeah, that bike looked trick.
That was the Yampa, right?
Yeah.
I rode that at Kettle.
Yeah, that's right.
That bike beat the hell out of me.
Yeah, because it was like all rigid. I had like a 29er plus like wheel set on it that day, so yeah, super high center of gravity and super unforgiving. You rode it like a champ.
Yeah, right on.
Right on. Well, since we're talking about blingy bits, I think everybody's going to really enjoy our special guest of the evening. And I know we could rap with him for hours about Crayola colors, but he's a busy man. And here at the Black Ribbon Bike Hour, we want to get specific. So let's take a quick break for station identification, and then we're going to shift gears into not shifting gears ever.
You're tuned to the Black Ribbon Radio Bicycle Super Duper Hour. We're back with the Black Ribbon Radio Hour and one seriously awesome interview. Take it away, Evan Larson.
Now, when I think of a single speed race, I picture back alley races, dudes and dudettes with patched up vests, passing around a joint with a bottle of whiskey chaser. Dumpsters are on fire to mark out an unsanctioned race course, hoping the cops don't come before it's over. Nowadays, we have single speed crowns all over the place with wacky costumes, copious amounts of alcohol, and a tattoo that awaits the winner. Now, joining us today to talk about the current culture of single speed is Paul Price of Paul Components Engineering. For those who don't know, Paul has been preemptively attacking the cycling market since 1989, creating beautiful bits of form and function for our freedom machines, and I, for one, am grateful for that. Hello, Paul. Thank you for letting us pry you away from your awesome machines and trash cleanup to talk with us about something that's very close to my heart, single-speed bicycles.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. I loaded enough trash for one day. Truck's almost full.
Right on. Now, while I've got you away from your cleanup duties, I just want to ask you, I've read that you take daily rides to reflect and marinate on new ideas. Out of your fleet of, I'm sure, a large amount of bicycles, how often does a single speed come out of the barn?
About every third ride, I would say. Yeah, I have an engine single speed, which I think might be one of the best riding bikes I've ever owned, and it's just fantastic, and I can't go too long without riding it, because everything else gets judged against it.
Nice. Is it just the feel of the bike? Is it just how it is set up? I mean, what makes it so special?
Well, it's a mountain bike, and we've got really, really rocky technical stuff here in town, and the way it steers is It's just intuitive. I'm not sure. It's just I never really thought about steering until I got on this bike, and man, it just something about it just is so right there. Nothing is fighting. Yeah, I just love it. It's a 29 plus. I'm pretty sure it's a copy of a Krampus. The geometry are very similar because the Krampus ride's almost exactly the same, and Krampus ride's really good too.
Huh. Well, yeah. Since we're talking about single-speed mountain bikes, can you tell me a little bit about your first single-speed mountain bike?
That would be the one that got away, and it was a Ventana made in Sacramento, which is 100 miles south of here, and it was one of the very first production mountain bikes, and we had invented this single-speed mountain bike hub. We were the first to do that and to make a dedicated hub. And then this team arose out of some Bay Area guys and some Sacramento guys, and they put on a race series called Krusty Cup, and Ventana did a run of bikes, and I just scraped all my dimes together and bought one.
Nice.
And, I think it was purple, and all the parts were green.
All right.
It was the color scheme. It was pretty awesome.
Like the Joker.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you've said that new ideas are rooted in the past and usually don't take complete shape until the culture is ready for them. You've also said that single speeds are making a comeback. Why do you think that is happening now?
This time of year, particularly right now, I am freaking bored to death of the trails that I've been riding because it's been the same trail system for like 6 months.
All right.
So it's fun to mix it up, and occasionally I'll take a cross bike out there and I'll, you know, flail and fall down, but it's a completely different ride. So I just think that could be what's happening. It's all conjecture, who knows, but we're getting a lot of orders for single speed hubs, which is fun.
Well, since we're talking about single speed hubs, could you tell me a little bit about your new wacky one speed rear drive, otherwise known as the Word?
Yeah, rear device. Yes, wacky one speed rear device. So that came about in '96, I think, or '97, and like I said, there was this group of people, and they just were like, okay, every year Shimano adds a gear, we have to buy a new group, and it's getting more and more, so you can't cobble together a mountain bike out of spare parts, which up until the early 90s, that's how people made mountain bikes.
Right.
They just cobbled them together because there was nothing. And so suddenly there was this new stuff, and it was all, I mean, it worked great, but like if you're a diehard tinkerer, I mean, you gotta do weird stuff. So people said, okay, well, I'm just going to do one gear, screw all this new technology. And so we made a hub, and they came to me, and I started, they're friends, and I'm fringe on the fringe, and I'm just like, well, okay, whatever, dudes. I'll make like 10, you know, and we'll sell 10. And those 10 were gone instantly. And then we made 100 and they were gone. So now we just have come out with the Boost version, and it's the same idea. The hub has evolved a lot, but yeah, still uses a spin on freewheel, which I think is a great solution.
Excellent. You're also making a front hub to complete the package of single speed goodness, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yep. Matching front hub. Gotta have hubs that match.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. If you're gonna do one, you gotta do the other.
Yeah.
Now, why do you think we're seeing more people, since you've built 10 than 100 and they just disappear? Why do you think people are building up single speeds when they could be rocking, you know, a 1x12 all the time? I mean, what is it about that single speed that draws you out every, you know, Thursday or third ride?
Yeah, well, it's punk rock, man. I mean, you know,
yes,
we're all getting older. We want to do something crazy. Or when you're younger, you especially want to do things that are crazy. Sometimes too crazy, I might say, in my old age, like I did, but survived, and
we made it.
We made it, but yeah, it's just sort of a disconnecting with the, you know, I don't give a fuck, basically. It's basically that, I would say. If I could say that on the radio.
Absolutely, you can you can say that on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an instant, given. Exactly, zero fucks given. That's funny you say that. I got that patch on right now.
Right. Oh, cool.
Among with others. But yeah, no, I completely agree with you. It's kind of, you just want to get back to that little bit of you when you were younger and you were a punk and it was like, fuck everybody, I'm going to do it this way and I'm going to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I had some fun, but I was trying to keep a little tiny business alive. It was mostly nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be.
You know what? I'm making fun for it right now, man. I'm riding all the time and going to Downeyville tomorrow, which is great for mountain biking. And, things are good.
That's awesome. Well, do you think the single-speed culture is maturing, you know, as we're getting older? Or do you think there's a younger, louder group that's coming up behind us?
So that we do some race support, which is one of the fun parts of my job, because the racing got old, so I started doing aid stations. And there's this kid recently, like blonde-haired kid with dreadlocks, just smiling all the time, and he just started showing up at these races and on a single speed, and he would come across and he would win, and you'd see him, like, I saw him win like 5 in a row, no sponsors, kind of a janky bike, not super awesome, decent, and he's just like, oh hi, yeah, okay, thanks, I'll take my prize now, bye. And yeah, I think finally, and I can't remember his name, and he was a super nice guy, and every time I see him, I give him a t-shirt or a pair of socks or something. He's single speed, and along with that, there's a lot of other guys, younger guys in their 20s who are checking it out and seeing what they can do on a bike with no gears, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's a fun prospect. I enjoy it thoroughly.
Yeah.
I definitely feel it, though, you know, the next day sometimes. Yes.
You raced on a coaster brake. Tell them about that a little bit.
This weekend. I just raced on my clunker. I did a 20-mile wow. single-track race on coaster brake bike, and that was fun. Wow.
That's hardcore.
That I have never done.
Yeah, I had to. I had to try it once, and I'll tell you what, every lap I made, something got louder and more, like the chain started to drop on me, and I'm just like, oh, I just hope this bike is going to hold together by the end of this race, because it was rooty and it was gnarly.
Yeah, and that's the adventure. I mean, you remember that shit. That makes your entire life of memories. It's right there. It's not, you did another generic race on a generic bike, so right on, good for you.
Well, let me just ask you, why do you think the single speed is just so appealing to go out and play? You know, I mean, why don't we go play bikes on a geared bike? It's just, you want a simple ride. What do you think is so appealing to the single speed?
It's a challenge. It's that one time I went out and I cleared that thing. Or I remember so many rides when I was faster, and still there'll be times when I just go out and I'm just faster on my single speed, and because you can only go so slow, you have to maintain a certain speed, otherwise you just fall over. So also, I was a gal, I was a pretty good friend of mine, and she's a single speeder. I was riding with her a couple weekends ago, and she pointed out that it makes people have nice butts. So that's another benefit.
There you go.
Yeah.
From the source.
Yeah.
Now I've been seeing some really interesting and beautiful handmade bike art from where you've organized builder gatherings. Can you tell our listener about how those events came together and what you have planned for the future?
Yeah, that's called Paul Camp. And we used to take all our bunch of money and go to Interbike, our event money, so to speak. And now I just got fed up with Interbike, and it wasn't that great. And any journalist I met, we would talk for about 10 seconds. So we invented this thing we call Paul Camp, where we fly journalists out here, put them up. We bring builders in. They build a bike. We can all hang out together. We don't have to be on the Las Vegas Strip. Instead, we're up in our local park, shredding on some trails on some absolutely gorgeous bikes. And then we go do this super VIP tour of Sierra Nevada Brewery. Got a lot of connections there, so we get into all the really fun stuff. And so that's sort of where we put our advertising Interbike dollars. And it's been, you know, it's worked good as far as exposure, but it's also just been tons of fun just showing these people our hometown, our backyard, like, this is our process. I go riding in the morning and I thrash my bike and I come back to the shop and maybe I have an idea. Maybe I sketch it out and maybe I make one later in the day, you know, sort of like we give them the whole gamut. So that has been really awesome. I've totally enjoyed that.
That's fantastic. I've seen some of those bikes, seen some of the photos of them, and you did that red, white, and blue theme for the most recent one. And yeah, those are sharp, sharp-looking bikes.
Yeah, they were. It was amazing. They started showing up, and we just sort of were like, no way. And then another one shows up, and we're like, no way. Like, when it got close to, there's, you know, 12 of them. We're just all sort of standing around just being like, what the fuck? How did this happen? Look at all these bikes. Yeah, it was amazing. I really appreciate all those guys coming through.
Yeah, that had to be a blast. Yeah, I just enjoy every single different journalist's point of view, perspective, photos. I mean, it's been neat reading about it.
Yeah, there's the magazine Bicycle Quarterly. Real nice, glossy magazine. It just came out, and it's got some pretty good coverage, too. That's real fun.
Yeah, see, that's what I like. You got to get the hard copy. The glossy
old
photos.
Old school magazines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bicycle
Quarterly. You've heard it from Paul Price. That's what you got to go get your hands on.
Yes.
Well, Paul, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us at the Black Ribbon Bike Hour. I've had a blast just listening to you talk about single speeding, and I wish I could just come ride my bike with you, but...
Anytime, you're welcome anytime. I'll take you out to lunch and buy you a beer.
Wasn't fishing for an invite, was it?
Of course it was. And yeah, no, Paul, I'm buying the beers, man. Thank you so much. You've been an outstanding guest.
You're welcome anytime.
Thanks, Paul.
You're awesome. Weed. We take it to our root cellar for big bowls of lemony snickets, Buddha snacks, Thai sticks, keef, reefer, ganja, pot, keef, tea, pizza, Acapulco, gold, Pan Am Red, all of the above.
It's otherwise known as our Black Ribbon Safety segment. And what we're talking about today is gloves. Now, who needs them? I don't know. I don't need gloves. I ride bare and knuckle. Yeah. I'll tell you what.
How did that work out for you last time?
Fuck, after riding in that Beulah buggy. Holy shit, you should see the blister I got on my hand here.
Oh, yeah.
It's about the size of a nickel.
Not to mention it's a couple tight spots where, you know, you might catch a tree.
Catch a tree.
Well, or worse, if you go over the bars and you kind of do that Superman, put your palms out, try to stop your face from hitting the ground, what gets skinned up but your palms?
Yep. Now, you just got to hold on to the bars and you let the bike slide with you. That's how you avoid fucking your hands up. But all I know... is I don't ride with gloves, and now I'm second-guessing it. Do you guys ride with gloves?
Pretty much always.
Oh, yeah. Usually I lose my gloves after a ride, so I'm always buying a pair the day before a ride. But I most definitely make sure that I have a pair of gloves before I go on a ride.
Yeah, that's the same thing. I try to just collect gloves because inevitably I'll lose one of them. I'll be in a panic, 10 minutes before I need to get in my car and drive out to the trails or whatever we're doing and run around my house trying to find a matching pair of gloves. But that's, you know, the importance right there. It shows you that I don't want to leave the house without some sort of hand protection. And depending on the type of cycling that you're doing, you know, more or less palm padding. I'd say for road bikes, I want them to be a little bit more padded up, and for mountain bikes, a little less so.
Now, do you guys, like, ride cyclocross or anything, or road? Do you wear gloves when you're doing that, too? I mean...
Yeah, road. I mean, I'd say the only time I'm not is if I'm in a really ultra-casual bike riding situation.
I never fucking wear them. I mean,
no.
Most definitely, the road bike, you get that. You get the numb hands if you don't wear the gloves. You get them real fast. Numb hands, riding on the road for hours and stuff. Mountain biking, definitely would say that you should always wear gloves.
Yeah.
Just like I say, you get some of those trees that are closed in.
I need shoulder pads, really, more than anything, is what I feel like after a ride. Wow.
Fox has a sweet pair of gloves that has, like, a carbon fiber knuckle plate. I mean, they look all Mad Max and look like you could just totally punch somebody in the head with them. And...
Totally a pair of brass knuckle gloves.
Yeah, like almost a quasi-legal pair of gloves, you know, in a way. But the good part is, you know, if your knuckle hits a tree, at least you got that... spread across all four knuckles and not smashing into one and
yeah,
doing
you've got
some
a,
real damage.
You've got a broken hand instead of just a broken knuckle. That's what you got, the yeah. carbon fiber.
Just goes
knuckles.
Further up the wrist and into the elbow. Eventually your collarbone snaps.
Yeah, I don't know. I just try not to crash. I don't hit trees with my hands.
There
I
you mean, go, man. We should call you Al. I don't crash.
Well, listen, man. Handlebars are
oh,
getting
no.
wider.
I crash. But like I said, you just hang on to the fucking bars.
Oh,
let,
yeah.
let the bike slide. You're going to go with it. Maybe I crashed too much. I seem to know how.
Well, speaking of crashing and the burning of books. Let's read from the scriptures of the surly intelligentsier.
As I randomly open the book of quarterly brain nuggets. We have Flasky. It's a little container with a big heart. And sometimes a knife. Sure, some people call him a figment of our imaginations. Or not at all real. But everyone here at Surly HQ knows that Flasky has our backs. And, while he may be a threatening enabler, he's our threatening enabler. We wouldn't want it any other way.
The Bike Black Ribbon Hour is produced at an underground steel mill and powered by nuclear waste from the city of Zion.
Tonight's show was made possible thanks to gifts from the Machine Shed in Milwaukee and the National Association of Funeral Directors Recreation Foundation.
Nobody parties like funeral professionals. The executive director for tonight's episode is Evan Larson. Special considerations for tonight's musical performance goes to Zion Marching, Jazz, and Marimba Band. Program District 211. Tonight's show was written by Evan Larson and Gary Lake.
Corporate funding has been manifested by our Dark Lord, and our show this evening has been beamed over to you by the Bikes, Parts, and Chaos of Surly Bikes. Learn more at surlybikes.com.
You've been listening to the Black Ribbon Bike Hour, a production of Fat Bike Radio broadcast on a Pirate Cycling Network. Check us out at fat-bike.com or on iTunes.
iTunes or fat-bike.com.
Serving to your ass, now you're the orchard. You're the silly baby, you're the standing.